You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians. With my shield. If I can. And in the book of Galatians, we were looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, and in the process of looking at that in the pages of God's Word, we see he's busy, busy, busy. He's the one person. God the Father is to be made to be honored. God the Son makes it possible by way of his death on the cross, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that real, the whole ball of wax. So perhaps we can go, and as we're looking at Galatians, 16 times in Galatians, the Spirit of God is mentioned. So, and in particular, we looked at the subject, which is there in Galatians, is works. And so to go way back, think of Cain, think of Adam and Eve. All they did is receive God's wonderful promise, Genesis 3:15, and then God saved them. Abel believed that he brought a sacrifice to recognize that the Lamb of God had to be slain from the foundation of the world. Cain did not do that. Cain brought an offering from the field, etc. That's what he did. And therefore, he went and said, I am going to let you know that I'm here. And he did it by works. That's what he did. He did his work. And he said, God, you ought to recognize my work. And that's why Cain killed Abel, because God wouldn't recognize his work. That's how serious it is. He wouldn't recognize. And Cain said, Abel can't be honored like that. And he was, by God. So when we come to Genesis 11, etc., you remember the Tower of Babel, and we built the tower, religion, going as close as we could to the sky, to the heaven. That's why they have all, and as you read the pages of Scripture, they went to the high places of mountains and hills, and that's where they put their idols, to be as close as they could to the heavens. They worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars, etc. And the reason for all of that, because of the demonology, as we did years ago. So, and here they are doing that. And what are they doing? They're doing politics and religion. What is religion? Religion is a system of works. Reason people are religious, the reason people do works, because they're religious. They have to do something. They want to earn merit, be awarded in some form of something. They've got to have some recognition. Cain didn't have recognition. God didn't give him any recognition. And you know from God's word, clearly over and over again, how much flesh shall glory in his presence? No flesh shall glory in his presence. None. Works. That's how we recognize. What is legalism? Legalism is what? When I go, I'm going to do something to merit God's favor, to merit God's involvement in my life. So back over to in Galatians and in chapter 4, etc. And remember, we have Ishmael and Isaac to Ishmael. Where did you come from? From Hagar? And why did you do that? Because God told Abraham he would have the child to be the seed of Abraham for blessing. Now, well, we didn't have any. So therefore, Sarah couldn't do anything. So therefore, Hagar came along, and we have Ishmael. And Ishmael is a system where we help God. We do something. God wants to do something. God wants some recognition or something. And by the way, going back just a step, how far can we do our works? Think of all the way back in history coming through. Even for Israel did it. They sacrificed their children, et cetera, et cetera. Literally sacrificed their children as a giving to God. Why? They all knew. They all knew Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman was going to save them. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. They all knew that. That's way back at start, square one. So, human sacrifice, you aren't surprised to see that at all, because they're doing something. Apparently, God wanted some sacrifice that we would have to do works. We'd have to do this. So, and thus, the Lamb of God. So therefore, we sacrifice children. When they dedicated a big city, they would take some sacrifice and put it under the wall of the outside. Before they put the wall, they'd bury the person to set apart the city. Sacrifice. Works. All the way down the line through history. We're at a place now where what we just said was very common all over the world. You look out the window now, it's common, but not very common. So therefore, as we're going down, we're moving away from that system. We're not going away from religion and works, because that's increasing in a different way. We're looking to help. Human flesh is able to be and to do many things. And we're hoping to go and involve God by our works. When it came to the Israelites and the early church, Galatians, etc., during that time, the people were going to go. And what did they do? They went and in the process got saved. So the people, Judaizers, others came along, false teachers, etc. And they came along and did what? Well, we're not going to compete with that. But you can believe on Jesus, but you also need to be saved, have works. Judaizers. And in particular, they singled out circumcision. You got to be circumcised. Remember way back to Genesis? And that's how they mocked the Jewish people, by circumcision. So, now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's Ishmael again. And Ishmael, Abraham and Sarah, and Hagar, Ishmael is a system of works. We did something, God, you were going to do it legitimately by Sarah, but since you can't, we're going to help you, and we have Ishmael, and 25 years so go by, and God waits, as you know, till Sarah, as you know in Romans 4 and that, God waits till what? Abraham's 100 years old. And Sarah, some up there, 90-something. And in the process, there's no way for them to have any. And that's when God said, now, you won't do a thing to help me have Isaac. I'm going to do something to help you have Isaac. I am going to do it, not you guys. You aren't going to have Isaac. I am going to have Isaac in my way. And he went and rejuvenated Sarah, etc., and you have Isaac. Isaac is the child of promise. You believe God, and you're saved. Ishmael, you do something, and you'll be saved. Works. Works, grace. And that's pretty simple, but when it comes down to the reality, works are a part of our system. But part of it in our system is built into this. Idolatry is part of your old nature and mind. So, now, having said that, in the light of Galatians 4 and going on from verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. So that's Isaac and Ishmael siding down. So, in the process, there's going to be Mount Sinai, the law and grace. It goes from Ishmael to Mount Sinai, Isaac to grace. Now, having said that, and you'll note, if you can, there's the law. Just think of the law. That's what it's going to do. Here's the law, and here's grace. And here's circumcision, the law, circumcision, and grace, Christ. Circumcision, Christ. Law, grace. Got him. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of Galatians, so it's not of works, it's of what? A relationship to God by promise. God's wonderful, wonderful promise, his wonderful, wonderful word. So, and so when, and just before I get into that, I guess, remember now, legalism is religion's passport. You want to say it that way? How do people get from death to life, from life to death, into the future? By legalism. Legalism is the passport. By my works. By my works. You did good works. You did the right works. And so the system is there. And religious people are guilty of legalism. That's what they are. And legalism, why are people religious? Because they're trying to earn their way. They involve God. Religious people must, the minute you say, I'm religious, you assume what? They involve God. If I said I was religious, you'd think about God. My works. I'm going to get to God by my religious, I'm religious. That means I can be all kinds of things. And what do all kinds of things demand? Look for. They look for works. Works. Mormonism. Jehovah's Witnesses. Catholicism. Think of the all kinds of ways to do it. I'm just wondering, just to get you to see this big picture that works is, it's our way of life. We're very idolatrous. That's our old nature. And we like to think that we aren't really in need of, we aren't totally depraved, we're just a little depraved, you see. So we really don't, we aren't that bad. We aren't that bad. And so in the process, here's my prayer wheel. It depends on the religious background, whatever you're doing. And here's a prayer wheel. You pay for money and I spin it. And I get my income by spinning the wheel. You tell me how much you want, how much you want to care for some prayer, and you tell me I want so much, and I spin it so many times. And you may even go every week and spin the wheel. You count the whatever, count them. Pray, how many candles should I like? How many do I do? What do I do? I'm counting, I'm counting. I'm burning. Plus, God, I love you. And I got my whatever. I'm counting on my works. Take away my works, I'm not so comfortable with God. But because I'm doing my works, I am comfortable with God. Now, if you put that together, when you really think about it, how many people are really saved? They're counting on their works. They love Jesus. He died on the cross. But they're counting on their works. The system will tell you that. The groups will tell you that. You don't do the works, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever you want, you aren't going to get in. You have to do the works we tell you to. You do what we told, as often as you're told, and we'll honor that. And you can be part of the system. Anyway, you got the idea. It's so massive. It's the devil's, probably his death, it's probably the devil's best weapon, works. You see, I do this and I do that, and we're counting on it. Christians do it. That's what Galatians is about. Us Christians, we're doing what? We're trusting Christ, but we don't realize it. We're trusting our works. And when we don't do our works, we're guilty. I didn't read my Bible, and I'm guilty. Or I read my Bible, and I did my devotions, and therefore I am not guilty, you see. But why are you even including that? Because you aren't saved by your dumb works. You aren't saved by your anything. You're saved by God's saving grace, period. God said, no flesh shall glory in my, what? Presence. Period. Period. We didn't get it. We didn't get it, God. But we're busy because it keeps us involved and safe in our little thinking. Why? Because I am not resting totally on the grace of God. That's why. Why do I do what I do and think like that? Because I'm really not resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross 1,000,000%. That's why you're saved. That's why you're saved. Now, if you rest on that, there's nothing you do. There's nothing you possibly can do. That's why you reckon yourself what? Dead. You reckon yourself dead. Why? It ain't going to go anywhere. Not going to go anywhere. Am I getting, helping you understand? It's just, while we're just chatting at the moment, but what I'm trying to help you with, I'm just saying in my little mind what I need to understand. It's nothing about us. It's zero about us. Everything about God. So therefore, if we can, having said that in the light of our religiousness and what we do and how we do it, and therefore, let us go over, if we can, over to, picking up Galatians chapter 1. Go to 1 and we'll do that, start that way. And just remind yourself, this is a very important, it's very important you understand, because this is very rarely ever talked about. No one talks about our real thing. We say, great, the grace of God saves us. But then we don't even understand the grace of God. We say the grace, and you're right, the grace of God does save us. But it isn't, we don't put it together. That's why you can't grow and you can't know. Why? Because in our gut, we're trusting our works. We don't even know it. I believe Jesus Christ, that's done. I paid my dues. What else is there to do? I got my card so that I can go and charge it, do it. I have my card. I have everything, so I'm now free. But you don't understand freedom. Freedom means you're really free. If you're really free, all your thoughts about doubt, discouragement, depression, disappointment, dismay, thousand words, you wouldn't even, they'd never bother you because you aren't saved by any of that. All that you doubt, you want, what's your doubt got to do with it? What, that's your old nature. Where does worry come from? God? God doesn't cause worry. God doesn't cause that. You do. I do. It's part of our system. We don't even know it. We're doing it. I feel discouraged. I'm mad or this, had, or whatever doing. And I'm going by the system, my mind, how I'm reacting. Because I'm trusting me and not God's saving grace to enjoy the privilege of being saved. Therefore, Galatians 1, verse 8, remember that Paul condemns it seriously right up front, if I can. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, judged. And he doubles down on it at verse 9, as we read. As we have said before, I say unto you now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed, judged. Any other gospel. The good news, Christ is God, has given his son to save you. God did it. You didn't do anything. All you did is receive it as a gift in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness. So therefore, in the light of that, over if I can, just to do it a little different way, over to Galatians. And remember we said circumcision. And you'll see it. The Lord Jesus was circumcised. That's who was 8 days circumcised. Why? He's a Jew. He was a Jew. He did everything. Everything the law required. Everything that, and where did the law come from? God told them, Genesis, etc. You're to circumcise. God told them, that's the covenant. The covenant, the sign of the covenant, circumcision. So therefore, when you come to chapter 5, if I may, in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you. Is that little word nothing? I make sure. It does say nothing, does it? I'll have to look up that word. Nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing mean. Okay. Verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor, he owes, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Deuteronomy 27, the last verse, curse it if you do not keep the whole law. You break one point, James, you're guilty of all of it. Break one point in the law. Miss the mountain by 1 foot. The plane crashes. Miss the mountain by 100 feet. The plane crashes. Plane crashes. Can't do it. So therefore, to do the whole law. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Grace is what God does. Works are what we do. The law. Verse 5, 4, we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're looking to God to make it all work out by faith, not by works. Verse 6, For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. God loves you. He saves you. You didn't deserve a drop of it. He just did it. And you were willing to be loved. That means you got saved. You received Christ as your Savior. It's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, I'll go over to Romans in chapter 2. And in Romans in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, and you will note, I'm going to go to verse, so to get a little context, of verse 24. 2 Romans 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, a fail in one point, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. It didn't do any good what you did or didn't do if you break the law. By work you can't be saved by works. So, verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision, which said circumcision keeps the righteousness of the law. Shall not the uncircumcision, etc., be counted for circumcision? And verse 27, shall not uncircumcision, which is made by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law. For, in other words, you're going to do it God's way or your way, Jew's way. But for a Jew, circumcision has to be, or doesn't have to be, but isn't the if it isn't going to profit you anything if you do it by works. So verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. In other words, it just won't do any good at all. All it is something you did. Verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. That's what God does. He sets you apart, like circumcision set you apart as a Jew in that day. So, here it is, circumcision, that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. I'll read that all in one shot. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, it's of God, circumcision. You want to be a Jew? Got to be a Jew in your heart. Jew in your heart. Remember they said in John 8 and all of that, we're Jews, but you want of my Father. It's true you're of Abraham. It's true you're a Jew, but you're not a saved Jew. You're not a saved Jew. You're not. No. Nope. So, when we come now, chapter 11 of Romans, and in chapter 11 of Romans, picking up, please, go down to verse 6. And I'll read verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. If by grace, then it is no more of works. No more. No more. You can't say grace and works. Grace or works. I'm going to put them together in a sec, but grace or works, you can't. You're either going to be saved by grace or your own effort. There's no middle ground. So therefore, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, there's going to be grace, there's not work. Yeah, one or the other. You're either saved by grace or by works. But I'm going to be half and half. You can't be half and half. It won't work half and half. Doesn't work. Back over while you're on your way back. Open chapter 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, may I pick up the thought so you see it? Chapter 15, verse 5. I didn't mean to do that. What did I do wrong? It's in my head. It just isn't there. When you get to heaven, you'll never forget a thing. You'll never have a problem with words. You never have that problem. So God, here we are looking at your wonderful works. I'm looking at it. I'll probably see it. Keep looking. I'll find it. Oh, yeah. Chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Boy, you did a lot of works. Yet not, N-O-T, I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I worked hard. But I didn't do it by works. I did it by God's grace. That's what we do. We do it by God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and keeping that in mind, if you would remember in Exodus, the people of Israel were given the 19 in that, were given a wonderful, wonderful position of being the chosen nation to be God's vessel, God's testimony to all the other nations. And having given all of the wonderful, all they had to do like Adam and Eve is step into it and say thank you. But they didn't. Exodus 19 and verse 8, we all want to do. God, Moses, you tell us what you want and we will do it. We will do whatever you want, God, by our efforts. We will do it. Now, having said that, so when it comes to that, and then that shoots them down. How's it shoot them down? Because they're still shot down. All they had to do was believe God and forget the law. And we go to the synagogue, we got the law, we have all the commandments, we do what we do. That's an Orthodox Jew. And we're doing everything. You never quit, did you? No, you didn't. Nope, the Jews are still doing the same process by works. That's why they aren't saved. That's why you can't fix anti-Semitism, etc. Because they are going to do it by works. And you can't do it. You have to give it by faith in the grace of God. So, and having said that, and Paul said, I do what I do in God's grace. And I do it with great zeal. I don't quit. Where's your energy? Where's your thought? It's I'm resting in God's doing, being who he is and what he has to do the way he has to do it. So, and therefore, over to Galatians again on your way back, Galatians. And you'll remember in chapter 6, And in chapter 6 of Galatians, Picking up, please, in verse 12. And as many as desire to make fair show in the flesh, our old nature, they constrain you. In other words, the Judaizers, the false teachers, you need to keep the law. You need to do this and this and that in order to be saved. It's wonderful to trust Christ, but boy, you better make sure you do the law. So, do works. Verse 12 again. For as many as desire to make fair show of the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So they want you to be everything so that you fit into the system where we're comfortable. We're all comfortable. If you're going to stand up and tell me that I have to watch, be careful that I'm not using and trusting my works. I'm trusting this, I'm trusting that. I don't even know I'm doing it. And if you're going to make a big issue about it, I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you because why? You're going and dealing with my head and heart and telling me that it's not my works. You're going to have to tell me it's by grace. It is by grace. And we won't feel comfortable. In other words, the average group using church members or religious people, the average of the average in this group of them. And here they are. They're trusting the system. If you went to the Catholic or something else system, we're all trusting the same thing. We're trusting the same whatever's up here, the candle, whatever you're doing. You're all trusting that. That's what makes you common. Now, if you don't like that, you tell me what it is. It's only a candle. It has no favor with God, lit or unlit. Nothing. You make us uncomfortable. So we just wish you'd be quiet and let us be comfortable with the system. So here's the Galatians. And here's the Judaizers. And the Judaizers, if they see the Christ and believers, they're rebuked. Jesus Christ says, you can't do it by works. You're Jews, but you aren't Jews. You aren't believing Jews. So we want to get what? Crucify him. Crucify him. Getting rid of him. So here we are. Keep that in mind, if you can. Verse 13. For reason. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. In other words, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they don't keep the law. If you offend at one point, what? You're guilty of all. You guys don't keep the law. You know it says it in Matthew 5 and all that. The Pharisees have all of these different things. They break the egg. You have to open your egg in a certain way, and you did all of this to keep the law. The law says nothing about eggs. You eat them. That's what you do. The law does. But the system that we live in, it's our system. If you're Pharisees, tradition, that's how you do it. This shows you're doing the right thing. Works. But you're never doing what God told you to do in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessing of God, you need to be trusting God's word from stem, from top to bottom, back to front, and you need to do it. But they weren't doing that. So the Pharisees weren't keeping any law. They were telling you to keep the law. But they didn't keep the law. So, for neither they themselves, verse 13, are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Look at all the people we've got following our system. So that's why religion, the more people you get, the more popular it is. And the more popular it is, don't you want to be in the in crowd? So the person out there comes in to be part of the group. If there's only two of you, man, you aren't going to have anything. But if there's 4,000 of you, and I get become part of 4,000, just think of when you see these pictures of them in a Muslim Medina or Mecca or Israel, whatever, all bowing down to prayer, all by thousands of them. Just had pictures of it the other day. Thousands of people. There they all are. I'm part of the crowd. That's all. I'm trusting the system. I'm not trusting Christ. I'm trusting the system. I just want to be part of the crowd. That's what you got. That's why people do. People do. And remember the Lord said, my way in Matthew. And he said, listen, Matthew and John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there are 35 other ways to boot. So I'm just one way. And you take any of those ways, you'll all end up. Broad is the way which leadeth to where? Destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. If there's only two of you, man, you don't have anything. But 4,000 of you, wow. God can, that's what the devil, humans are doing that. God, you know, people say, God can't condemn everybody. He can't really have the Battle of Armageddon. He can't really have that. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He picked in the days of Genesis flood. And remember him going up and down, the zillions of people, how many were, I don't know, out there. And he went up and down and said, Noah, how many people do you find that want to get on board? Did he find anybody? Did he find anybody besides the canaries and the zebras? They wanted to get on board, two of them. That's what they did. No one else wants to get on board. We're part of the group. You can't condemn us, God, Satan, over here. You can't condemn them. They're all there. They're all there. And God said, they are. But I told them they had to be saved. And believe in my son. They did not do that. They're trusting the system. They're trusting their works. They don't even know it, but they're comfortable doing so. And when you really pin them down, 2 Corinthians, you have to turn there, 13, verse 5, examine yourself in what? Put yourself to the proof to see if the body of truth is really in your heart. Are you really believing God's word? And are you saved? That's how Corinthians ends it. You better test yourself. And what I'm trying to say is, the system is so, where it is, powerful, powerful. You know from, you know, well, hang on. Let me finish this part. Okay. Chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, verse 15, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. All things that passed away, what? Everything comes new. All new, whole new ball game, a whole new ball game. And so God said, listen, the whole system you're in, the system you're trusting, the legal system, Judaism, work system, it isn't going to go anywhere. And the devil is real sharp and smart. 2 Corinthians, as you know, chapter 11. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know it, but just remind yourself, the devil is pretty sharp. He isn't out there with horns like the devil's who can, you know, the horns and grin. They're going to bite you. Yeah, we can do that in the scary things that people do. Yeah, no, I don't do that. No. Witchcraft, islands of Haiti, different places where, at least years ago, I assume it's still true, some jungles, where that really is, where they really are into satanic stuff. That's powerful. That's powerful. And they even tell missionaries years ago, unless you're really seasoned, don't go in there. Don't go in there. You won't make it. It's so powerful. You better have your helmet on. Don't go in there. Years ago. Maybe still through today. I don't know. I'd have to go to Washington and see. And other places. Wow. Now, so, and hopefully, anyway, you know. So here we are. Chapter 11. Picking up, if I may, in chapter 11 and in verse. That's my fault. I said 1 Corinthians, didn't I? Thank you for helping me. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. I knew I could see it. I went down right where it should be, and it wasn't there. Huh. So, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. And for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, you'd have to be able to discern, is that guy a real apostle or isn't he? And they were coming across, look at chapter 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now it's there. Don't use the simplicity, chapter 11, verse 3. Don't lose your relationship to Christ. Back over to chapter 11 and going to the next verse, verse 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now what would you do? Here's a light and there's a light. That's the right light, that's the wrong light. Are you going to discern the difference? I'm going to come as a light. And you just say, light, God. Not necessarily. It looks good. Remember that, Revelation 17. Truth, error rides on reality. That's what it does, truth. You want to get something across, have truth, take a piece of truth and lie around it and serve it. And people will take the truth. When they took the truth, they found the lie. And they took it. How to trick them? All bad, they won't do that. But if you come with some good, and looks good, and feels good, tastes good, we'll take it in. But when we took it in, we took all the rest with it. So verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Righteousness. And we're going to do that in a good way to help us so that we can practice that and not get frustrated with this business of righteousness. So therefore, you're going to come, apostles of Christ, light ministers, servants of righteousness. That's how they're going to come. And it's where we are. And we're caught up in it, moving with it in a very awesome, awesome kind of way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I hope if I can, you'll catch it a little bit here of it in, you're in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And God gives us a wonderful, wonderful freedom when he sets us free. He sets us free from the law because we're trusting God's grace. God's grace means I don't have to produce it, and we are not going to produce it. So it isn't anything to do with my background. It isn't anything to do with my morals or immorals, my emotions, my feelings. My family, my job has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do. All the thoughts that rumble through our little mind, your mind, our mind, as we do that, They're just thoughts. There are thoughts. They don't go anywhere. There are thoughts, how we think, worry, fear, and get frustrated and everything else. Well, that's us. But, so what are we going to do, God? We're going to go, and you're going to go and set us free. How do you set us free? By your grace. Your grace is going to go and set us free. Now, who on earth is going to be able to do that? And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is, I'll read verse 16 even for a little. Nevertheless, when it, the veil, shall, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, so that the unbelief, the whole section, remember, verse chapter 3, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, wonderful freedom. The truth will set you free. What did you think free meant? How free are you? How free does the truth make you free? How much freedom? Practically, if you ask the average Christian, well, how much truth will set you free? Set you free for what? Oh, so I'm able to go and do this. No, set you free. Totally free from anything about you. And you reckon yourself dead unto sin. Christ died on the cross for you, the gospel, so that you can rest in his person and work and truly be saved. You can truly be a child of God, 1,000,000%. 24 hours a day, 60 seconds in a minute. Every second. All the way to forever, you can say, because it's by grace, not by you or by me. That's different. That's different. I'm free. I'm free from the dumb things that come in my head. What about? I'm free. I may worry about it and sweat and do whatever, but I don't have to. I don't have to. I can rest in God's wonderful work. Well, like you, we use the illustration, you rested on your bed of some kind in the last few hours. You rested on your bed. And you might have said, oh, I wonder if the bed will hold me. And you're worried about the bed. Do you remember how the bed say, I'm worried too. The bed said, boy, I'm worried whether I can hold you. And the bed sat there, the bed's talking to you. You know, bed's talking to you. You don't have imagination. The bed's talking to you. And the bed tells you, listen, I can't do it. I'm worried. The bed is never worried. The bed is the bed. The pew is the pew. It doesn't change. So God doesn't change. You're resting in God's saving grace, period. Now you can sit and squirm and scream and fret and fume, do whatever you want. It doesn't change. God's the saving Savior, period. So when you're all done sweating and fuming, what are you going to do? God, what are you going to do? I'm going to save you. You receive me as your Savior. I'm your Savior. I'm your God. I intend to save you. That's the way it is. See? Well, let's talk about it. Won't make any difference. Because you'll have to go and find some other book in the 60, you have to read book 67. Read book 67 in the Bible. You got that? 67 will tell you how to be a worldly, unsaved person and still go to heaven. I'm just kidding. You got the idea? Anyway, I just wandered a little bit. You got the main thing I want you to see. And it's just us guys sitting here. Think of all the people come in and out that have no idea about works. And they're going to do in their little head what they always do. They're going to sing, come, and go. They aren't going to change because they don't even understand how subtle our working is. They don't even know. That's the way everything is. And fortunately, the answer to that whole thing is what? God said, listen, if I don't come and take you home, you'll never get there. Okay? I got to take you home. You'll never get there if I don't take you home. You'll never enjoy all that I have done for you till you go home. In the meantime, don't work at it. Trust God's grace. Thank you for that little bit. Hope it helps. Thanks.